sharply and a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening in the doctrine of the millennium. We're Roman numeral 3, page 2 of our notes. For the assimilation of the truth of the divine viewpoint, that is Bible doctrine, in order to take advantage of the situation and to prosper ourselves in this vein. As we know, it demands that we're in the ministry of God's Holy Spirit. In this way, it's the sin nature seen isolated, put in its case, so to speak. That occurs through the rebound technique after the act of personal sin, where we name our sins before God, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This fills God's Spirit. Personal sin life, and whether or not you rebound that sin in this capacity. And only in that way can you truly understand the spiritual principles that are brought out in, with respect to the truth of Bible doctrine. This is the grace apparatus procession given to us. We recognize this. This is our call for transparency before all in regards to the truth of God's Word that is being presented. You're here. Give me your ear. I'm the one that's going to tell you what's going on in this regard. And this way, we can advance ourselves spiritually. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for your many grace and mercies. Thank you for yet another opportunity to study the truth of the Word. Bless us in taking these things as our confident hope and expectation in regards to the future that lays before us under God's divine plan. All this be it God the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Moving on here in the doctrine. We're looking at synonyms, titles, if you will, for the millennium. A thousand-year period of human history that essentially brings the history of this world to a close with the exception of some years, a few years, that will follow for one final rebellion by Satan and the unbelievers of this planet to try to upset the plan of God otherwise. And it is in this time period that all the dreams of men throughout history have seen longevity of life, of establishing peace on this planet among men and among nations, will actually come to fruition. Before that, all hell's got to break on this planet. And when that occurs, it will demand the interruption in regards to the men by the person and only person who can bring universal peace on this planet, and that is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the second advent. So certain synonyms are used for the millennium. Obviously, a thousand years, that term, Revelation 22 through 7, is referenced to the millennial period. It is exactly a thousand years, beginning at the second advent, correlation with Christ conquering his enemies in regards to the battlefield at the Battle of Armageddon and lasting into the next 10 centuries that makes up 1,000 years. B, it is referred to as summer. It is used in that terminology, in that symbolic way, in the parable of the fig tree, where the fig tree is none other than Israel itself. And it recognizes that the reestablishment of Israel as a nation, when it puts forth its tender branches and leaves, showing the economic, political coordination of organization of the peoples as a nation in Israel, in the land, in that regards, generation that is alive at that point in time or is born at that point in time that occurred in 1948, there will be certain of those that are definitely still alive before Christ, that when Christ returns regard to the second advent. The second advent obviously follows 7 years after the rapture. So when you look at that point in time in the history have an orientation as when the rapture occurs, one must subtract 7 years from the parable in and of itself. So a summer, a time of R&R, generally speaking, everything is pleasant, fruit is bearing, and starts to bear in regards to the plants and life. Things about summer are obviously a lot more pleasant than the bitter, hard winters and things of that nature in that regards. And the millennium is referred to as a time of summer in that respect. And obviously part of that recognizes the 7 years of Daniel's 70th week that must be concluded for that summer to truly begin. So it's also referred to as the marriage supper. That revolves around the concept that Christ has a bride. The bride is not a single female. It is essentially the church, all believers, the universal church, that is believers, those who are alive at the day of Pentecost as believers, who become believers from that point in time onward until the rapture in and of itself concludes the church age dispensation. All believers, good and bad, are recognized as being the bride of Christ. That is because all have positionally been cleansed from any unrighteousness and are clothed with God's absolute righteousness as believers, that is made possible through the doctrine of regeneration, the new birth, where a spirit is born of spirit, a new human spirit is given to the individual believer that is created in righteousness and set apart for the truth of Bible doctrine in that respect. And we are seen as being a bride of Christ. We are part of royalty in this capacity. And at the rapture, we will be bound to Him in a wedding ceremony, if you will, during that period of time. Fitting in Daniel's 70th week, 7 year period there, in that point in time, and we will return with Christ at the second advent to watch Him destroy the enemies of this world. And upon His victory, there will be a great wedding feast that is set up for all to enjoy in regards to the relationship of grace and God's plan as it is adjoined to Him. In terms of resurrected believers, the church, and as well as the land. Israel is referred to as a bride in regard to Christ, coming together and joining Him in celebration for His victorious return as He so promised His disciples that He would come back, He would be back to set up His political kingdom in this respect. And obviously that's what Christians are waiting for, those who have any notion in regards to Bible doctrine and the person of Jesus Christ and His advent in that respect. And that celebration will go on for the indeterminate time, a time period, presumably throughout the remainder of the millennial period. Only believers are invited to the wedding feast. One must be clothed properly. That means they must possess plus R to be part of this righteous celebration that goes on in this vein. No unbeliever will be permitted if they are found trying to crash the party. They will immediately be sentenced to execution and their soul sent straight to Sheol, Hades, in that vein. D, another synonym used is rest. They had a propaganda that is being shoved down the world's throats through the new doctrine of science. Science has become man's mantra of doctrine. Everything is determined by science. All aspects. In the acceptance and promotion of the doctrine of evolution, the theory of evolution, the human science explains all things. And obviously, science, through scientific discoveries and advancements, men say that they can bring this world into conformity in regards to their ideology and bring about a form of utopia upon this planet. But they will not. All men can do is create chaos and confusion. They may cause always conflict on this planet between nations, here or there, between leaders, between people, between societies and governments, etc. All this garbage. The news in Iraq is all the American embassy people and United Nations people are being evacuated. Once again, what's a surprise? We really do a great job, do we not? Men the history of this world is left in their hands and their decision and their creativity and power and authority in this regard. No, it is not. It is under always the power and authority of God Almighty. And He's already set out for us the history of the human race and what's going to occur. And yet, men will retaliate. And obviously, the ideology and the confusion is brought forth and promoted through Satan and his demons as they disseminate the falsehoods and ideologies among nations and influencing leaders and things of this nature. All this stuff that goes on, don't lose sight of the fact that there is constant demon activity being perpetuated among the higher echelon of governments. Constantly. And to what degree Satanism is practiced in that regard, obviously you have the dupes, those who just fall in line under their negative volition, the puppets that want to do all that everybody says so they can have their place and time and fortune in that vein. But then you have the ringleaders, the ones that push all these ideologies and evil upon the planet. And many of these are deeply embedded in regards to the synagogue of Satan. The synagogue of Satan was around at the point in time of John's writing in the book of Revelation. And it's still around today. It's still doing its thing. And it finds, while it may try to remain a mystery and give itself different faces throughout history to a certain degree, the predominant figure that the synagogue of Satan revolves around today is the Masonic Lodge. Some of these Masons that are involved that started the United States Masonic Organization, it's unbelievable some of the evil that they were involved in. Sexual evils. There's a great big hospital for kids. You never talk to a real Shriner. They'll up to you. Tell you how they have drunken parties and the debauchery that goes on in regards to these parties. The SCA activity, et cetera, et cetera. It's all a front. It's all a front. You've got to appeal to the masses. So men think that they can bring out this new utopia of on the planet through their own endeavors when all they're going to do is bring about total destruction. They're going to end up wrecking the environment, the one that they want to use all your dollars for, supposedly to save. That's just being shoveled here and there, wherever. You know, you hear the news in regard to misappropriated COVID funds that were given to people and stuff that it didn't go where it's supposed to go. the Alzheimer's and their families, etc. No, there's only one way to bring rest on this planet, and that is through the absolute rule of righteousness by God Himself. Happen through a monarchy. Christ as king, as we like it. Even our some of our early founding fathers, I used to have a saying from one of them that referred to this very principle I'm dealing with, that no rest could come upon this planet because of the evil men. Only through a Christarchy can ultimate peace be brought upon men. I wish I could remember what it was. Somehow I had it on my Facebook page. Of course, somehow I got censored and removed. Not me. But anyway, that surprises. And He will rule with a rod of iron. A rod of iron under righteousness. And obviously, as God, He will have the capabilities to serve and deal with things on a universal basis. Both of angels as well as resurrected believers. And He will bring in a time of rest. A time when the swords and weapons of the military will be broken down into plowshares. It will be a time of great productivity. And not through the militia, the military-industrial complex. That is Isaiah 14 and Jeremiah 50. E, where we pick up another synonym for millennium, is simply kingdom. God's kingdom on earth. It was referred to by Christ in His model prayer, that your kingdom come. And that is in reference to you had the revived Roman Empire. Verse 44, not to get into all of that. In the days of those kings, the world rulers will arise, come to power, etc. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will be destroyed. All the kings. The revived Roman Empire is a reference to the Commonwealth of Europe, European Union, where the Antichrist will establish central government. He will be on the scene, conjoining the rapture, the timing of the rapture. He will show the world and they come back. And he will be permitted by God to have certain powers bestowed upon him, along with the false prophet, to deceive and delude the world that he's the Savior of the world. Kingdom, the EU, is known as the Revived Roman Empire. certain aspects of Antiochus Epiphanes is seen as a type of Antichrist of Rome, and things of this nature all come into play in this regard, without going into depth, which I'm not prepared to do right at the moment. A lot there. And it is at that time, the revived Roman Empire, that is now being prophesied, that God is going to retaliate in judgment. And in the efforts of men, he will do what men could not. And that is, he's going to set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. Two things that doctrine show us if our prophecy is correct. The doctrine of fig tree is correct. Israel is here to stay. Whatever threats come against Israel, they'll never be kicked out of the land again. Even during the times of Jacob's trouble, they won't lose their sovereignty in that regard. And when Christ returns, along with that, he's going to establish a kingdom which his rule of righteousness is there, and it is permanent, now forever and ever again. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. Nobody will ever be able to overtake it, even though Satan, by all indication, and unbelievers at the end of the millennial period are going to try to do it anyway. Well, duh. That's what negative volition is known for. We can undo what God tells us he's going to do. There's no God that binds us. See, that's their whole mentality. That's every person who rejects Bible doctrine and adopts human viewpoint. That's their mentality. God is not going to control me in regards to my thoughts, in regards to my ideas, and what I pursue in life. See, his word is subpar, subservient to my own will. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. So hence, the kingdom there is in reference to the millennium that is established, that dispensation of Christ's rule. 7:22 and 27. Again, we had this mention of these kings. Here the four kings are brought out in regards to last day prophetic players that's on the stage. The four major players that are brought to bear are Great Britain, and their daughter United States, the eagle, the lion with the eagle's wings. There is the bear, that is none other than that country that is right now waking up. We're waiting. Maybe we'll get to see which ribs it really is that's going to end up in his mouth. That may occur before the rapture. Doesn't have to. That could very well occur within the first 3 years. But that is none other than Russia. Then the leopard, which is the Chinese Communist Party affiliates. Amazing how prophetic Babylon, the United States, how instrumental we are in taking two natural adversaries, otherwise Russia and China, and bringing them together right now. Where they are slowly turning to be allies with one another, with a common enemy. Guess who that enemy is? And then you have this great beast, the horn, the little horn, as is mentioned. And that is none other than the revived Roman Empire again, under the rule of the Antichrist. Uh, Daniel has this vision. Horn is symbolic of power. A little horn would be one that has power of these powers, if you will. Has power within these powers. And that's the Antichrist. And verse 17, these great beasts, which are four in number, are four kings who will arise from the earth. But the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom, possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come. In spite of all of his endeavors, he will fail. And judgment, in which devour, crush, and trample down the remainder with his feet, able to subdue and put under his subjection, even the other great nations of the world. For all the reasons that we have brought out and seen when we went through the book of Revelation. One who was, is not, as John says, at the time of writing, hence he's not of Rome, and will be, he comes back from the dead. Now the preceding world powers, he best fits the bill. His life was ended short. He is seen to have the attributes. He is the great beast. Name of the horn, which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boasts. Oh, verse 20, excuse me. And the meaning of the ten horns, which were on his head, ten powers. And the other horn, which came up, four of which three of them fell, namely, that one which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boasts, but which was larger in appearance than his associates. European Union and in the consolidation of it under Alexander's empire, he will militarily, forcibly subdue three of those countries who will try to take exception to him taking over. And he'll put them under. Read Revelation. That's one of his main goals in coming about to power, and that is to stamp out any who stand up for the truth of doctrine in the person of Jesus Christ. Christianity will be under an attack never like it's been seen before in human history, even in the period of the Dark Ages and the Inquisitions. That attack made possible through modern technology. You own a cell phone, they know where you're at. It's the way it is. Obviously, you hear rumors to what degree they're true, you know, of governments arming all bureaucrats, basically. People who tax collectors and things of this nature. Social services people. Oh, they all need guns. Okay. Anyway. I like to keep throwing those things out. If you haven't noticed. Anyway. And he utters great boasts. That horn is Alexander, the Antichrist, which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boasts. I'm God. I'm the Savior of this world. And the false prophet will be there, and he will seek to confirm and validate it with all of his rhetoric. And his partnership with him in this respect. And obviously, a part of the great prophet's role is to enjoin Israel to align with the false Messiah. Because the false prophet comes from Israel. He's a Jew. And I kept looking. Verse 21, that one was waging war with the saints, overpowering them. Verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came. Ancient of Days is God Himself. And judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. And the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. Kingdom there in reference to ruling with Christ during the millennium. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms, and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. As for the ten horns, out of this kingdom, ten kings will arise. Another will arise after them. He will be different from the previous ones, will subdue three kings, as I mentioned. He will speak out against the Most High. Verse 25, and wear down the saints of the highest one, constantly badgering and hunting, making political prisoners, killing. He will show no mercy. And he will tend to make alterations in times and in law. That's interesting. Alterations in times and in law. And by all appearances, that looks at his attempt to change history, to center around his ideals and goals, etc. Laws obviously looks at replacing the law of nature, the natural laws of men that most people with any common sense recognize exist, laws of the universe, and recreate them into whatever scientific or other ideological, philosophical theory that he proposes. What all that will entail, who knows? And he will intend to make alterations in time and law, and they will be given to his hand for a time, times, and a half a time. That's one time, times is two times, that's three times, and a half times is 3.5 years. We recognize the Tribune broke up the 7 years, broke up in half. And that looks at the final half of the tribulational period. The first half of the tribulational period, big things are going to happen. Antichrist is going to establish his position and his power. Obviously, it takes time and transition to coordinate and correlate and orchestrate this universal rule that he is going to assume, etc. But it's the final 3.5 years that, in spite of the catastrophes and destruction of the U.S., during this point in time, in the nuclear holocaust, even among that, there'll still be nothing compared to the last 3.5 years. Like I said, it doesn't get any better. Not until the man arrives. That man being the glorified man, Jesus Christ. But the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. As we know, the Antichrist, the false prophet, are both immediately condemned to the lake of fire upon Christ's victory at the Battle of Armageddon. And then verse 27, for our documentation, then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all kingdoms under the whole heaven
will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. Believers will rule. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. That is the millennial kingdom. And all the nations will serve and obey Him. At this point, the revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me. My face grew pale, but I kept the matter to myself. To sit there and contemplate that the human race can become so destructive in and of itself, so evil, so antagonistic in regards to the very principle of grace. People don't recognize that's what the New World Order, that's one of the attacks that it has, is an attack on grace. There is no grace with these people. All they want is control. They don't care who lives or dies. The people who are ringleaders and those who align with them. But even their evil motivations and incompassionate view or approach to mankind is nothing compared to the evil of the Antichrist and his dismissal of what life is about in that vein. Isaiah 9:7. So kingdom used there in reference to the millennium. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. The government that will fall on the shoulders of the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. That's verse 6. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David, or over and over his kingdom, his millennial rule, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of armies will accomplish this. Matthew 25:1. Is prophetic. Here are the 10 virgins are in view here. That is a reflection to Israel in the parable. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins. That's the nation Israel, as it will represent the kingdom of heaven, with Christ ruling on Israel's state and from his throne there, who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom being Jesus Christ. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. Verse 3, for when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil and flask along with their lamps. This, in general, is a reflection of having doctrine versus not having doctrine. Oil refers to light, God the Holy Spirit, other symbolism, other figures used in regards to oil. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." Share your wisdom with us. Give us insight so we can be prepared to meet in this regard. But the prudent answered and said, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Get your own oil." I mean, that's what they're saying. Get your own oil. People will give me doctrine. You need to bring me the doctrine. Well, you go to church, get your own doctrine. That's what got me in class finally. A friend of mine that was on doctrine that was spoon-feeding me for a while. And finally one day he just sat down and says, "You want doctrine? You go to Bible class and get it just like I do." And so they all fainted when I showed up. They never thought it would happen. Well, I wasn't for sure either, but God has a way. No, there would not be enough for us and you two. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourself. Those who are providing the oil. And that's a reflection on Isaiah 55 I have noted in my Bible. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and all those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. That is entering to the door of the millennial dispensation. And time's up. And later the other verses also came saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered and said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." And in the right chapter of the kingdom of heaven. All right. It's the first verse. Duh. 2 Timothy 4:1. That was good. Presence of God and of Christ Jesus, the charge that was bestowed upon those men whom I went to seminary with, ordination in regards to accepting the church, who is to judge the living and the dead, even at his appearing and his kingdom. The appearing, reflection to the rapture. The Bema Seat, the war ceremony, disappearing, his kingdom, his representative, the second advent, and his literal rule and judgment. On these synonyms, the day of the Lord, beginning at the rapture. Period of time, or that day, a specific period of time. Zephaniah 3, 8, and 20. Sacrifice. Verse 8, that I will punish the princes, the king's son, and all who clothe themselves with foreign garments, alien to the plan of God. And I will punish on that day all who temple. Epiphany. But brings in the money. Well, all inhabitants for all the people of Canaan will be silenced. Also, will be cut off. Bankers, the Arab antagonists, etc. Those ills. And it will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem, verse 12, with lamps, and I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, "The Lord will not do good or evil." There's that whole concept again of destiny is in our hands. We determine these things, not God. We determine what's right and what's wrong. See? And plant vineyards, but not drink your wine, as sudden destruction comes upon these elite. Politically, economically, the days near the great day of the Lord, all these synonyms bringing about the millennial period with its inclusions otherwise that I have mentioned. In it, the warrior cries out bitterly. A day of wrath is that day, verse 15, a day of trouble and distress. A day of destruction and desolation. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. I guess that period of COVID stuff was not that bad, was it? When you look at this kind of stuff. A day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities. Oh, I'm in chapter 1, sorry. I saw everybody going, "Well, there he goes again." But it's still apropos. Amazing how that always works out. Let's try again, chapter 3, verse 8. "Therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up to the prey. Indeed, my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out on them my indignation." That's righteous indignation. "All my burning anger, his wrath." God's anger is his wrath, his judgment brought upon the nations. For all he will zealously hunt them out. Hunt them down. Verse 10, "My worshipers, my dispersed ones, will bring my offerings." That day you will feel no shame. Obviously now we've translated the period of all of your works by which you have rebelled against me. "For then I will remove from your midst your proud, exalted ones, and you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain," as he will purge out. Humble is to be oriented to God and His plan. When you disobey God, disregard His royal imperatives, you exude pride and arrogance. You are not humble in that condition. The remnant of Israel will do no deceit. By the rule of Christ. "A shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout and triumph, O Israel," verse 14. "Rejoice and exalt with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." 15. lay those down. Do not let your hands fall down.
17, the Lord. Behold, I'm going to deal at that time with all your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will turn their shame into praise and renown in all the earth of all. Verse 20, at that time, I'll bring you in, even if they're you together. Like a thief in the night. That you may not be quickly shaken from your composure, or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. That people already. Lord has already been on them. False teaching, nothing new under the sun. And then he goes on with the as someone had infiltrated the church. Objective analysis regard to certain things that will must occur in terms of the man of lawlessness appearing first in that respect. Today, in view, obviously, is a time and period of history of which the day of the Lord will commence, ushering in the millennial period after the 7 years of tribulation. And this one is associated with the class, being in Bible class, the assembly. See, not forsaking our own assembly, as we are all probably very familiar with this verse. About fellowship. The local church is truly about fellowship with one another. Together, probably. We can't say exactly how often. Taking it towards the Bible. That is a time of consensus. Among us. Find a friendship and camaraderie, what you find in an oriented Bible class in the truth of Bible doctrine. You won't do it. I don't care what lip service, what on behalf of. And we're not to ever leave that, to take it for granted, even though we may, obviously, to a certain degree. And we're sure as hell not to forsake it, to blow it off, as James says, to go out and make a few extra bucks. Oh, really? So that's going to put you in the upper echelon, the Elon Musk of this world, the Rockefellers? What people, what they're willing to sacrifice, the truth of Bible doctrine, the pure gold, etc. SGC. in the vision, blow out a class over it. See. All that's worth it. Man, you haven't got nothing in terms of truly the blessing that God has in store for those who do it right, who will do His plan, fulfill His plan for their lives. And it all begins right here in Bible class. This is what we call our most pressing responsibility, NPR. And in the last days, don't expect humongous doctrinal churches. I don't see it happening. Church age is being purged. And what you have is a small remnant of pure gold being offered to the universal corporate life of the church itself being lukewarm in spite of that. As is the habit. Now we understand we can be tested and missed in Bible class on occasion. But if it's habitual, you got a problem. You got a serious problem. Spiritually speaking. One another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. I don't know how much more it can be exhorted from the pulpit in regards to how close we really are. I mean, I've definitely kicked it up a notch within the last year or so in my own thinking. How close we're getting. How these things are just falling into place. The scenario is being played for us right before our very eyes to bring this and your encouragement and exhortation to others who may have otherwise become right at you from me personally. That's because I love you. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to continue to light these things in Jesus' name. Amen.